In the update of November the 9th, Mr. Bowles brought out the fact that life is full of choices. This is not something peculiar to parents. Our children also have to make choices and make sensible decisions. Ultimately, they are going to have to make far-reaching choices themselves, and our job as parents is very much to prepare them for the eventual transition from dependent children to independent adults. Scripture appears to indicate that men and women reach maturity at about the age of 30, and there are many scriptures which use the phrase from 20 years old and upwards, indicating that young people approach maturity at about 20 years of age, and until then they are numbered with the children. In the preparation for the transition of dependent children to independent adults, it is the responsibility of parents to teach and advise their children, their offspring. Children have to be taught. Of all the beings that have been placed on this earth, human beings are the only ones which are born with absolutely no knowledge at all. Animals have instinct. Human beings do not. Consequently, children have to be taught that there are certain ways of approaching life that must be avoided and other ways that should be practiced. Children need guidance in the choice of friends, in the choice of activities, the choice of ambition, and the choice of goals in life. They should be taught that it is not advisable or even desirable to blindly experience everything imaginable. We have to realise that experience can be a heartless, remorseless, unremitting, unforgiving and soul-destroying teacher that sometimes has detrimental effects on others. Remember that there are scriptures which use the phrase visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of them unto the third and fourth generation. And that can be found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, and Deuteronomy 5, verse 9. My overall purpose today is to help us all to focus on one of the, perhaps, very basic teachings of God that is very much part of the teachings of the Church of God. That is that parents have a duty to teach their children a right and proper way to prepare for life that will stand them in good stead to face the trials and the pitfalls of life. Teaching children from our own experience of how to cope with the trials and avoid the pitfalls of life is a vital part of preparing a young person for life as an adult. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 6, we find a scripture that has been quoted to parents in God's church ad infinitum. Here is what amounts to an instruction to parents. We should perhaps remember the old adage formulated, I believe, by a Catholic or Jesuit priest. Give me a child until he is seven, and I will give you a Catholic for life. Teaching children begins at the earliest time of life and should continue for the whole time that the child is part of the household. Unlike the society around us, children, although they're becoming young adults, are still children even at the age of 19. This is despite the fact that the young person may disagree. So here in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 we find these words. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. By the time that most children are born into a family, the parents of those children are in their 20s or 30s. While that may be something of a generalisation, it gives a sort of picture of the general family. It does set the scene. The parents will usually have something like 20 or 30 years of experience over and above that of their children. As a consequence, they will be able to teach their offspring about life and behaviour, or they should be able to. Instruction may not always be in a formal setting. In fact, probably rarely is. Family chats, or talking to each other over a family meal. However, from a formal situation, one of the lessons I learned at school has stayed with me ever since that time. It was a religious education class, and you don't find too many of those in state schools nowadays. The subject was the Golden Rule. Do unto others that which you would like them to do unto you. And that is Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. And that is a good staple for life. Teaching children is not merely a litany of do's and don'ts. Teaching must also be accompanied by reason. Do this because, and give the reason why that should be done. Do not do that, and again, give the reason why the child should not follow that particular course of action, and that he understands the reason why that should be. Moving on to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 to 9, we find a direct command from God. We are to teach our children diligently. Being diligently requires careful and persistent effort. It also requires that we ensure that this teaching is done in a manner that the child can find interesting and in which they can interact with our teaching. It requires patience, sometimes infinite patience. If our child cannot grasp a particular point from the perspective that we are presenting it, then perhaps we should choose a different way so that the child can engage with the subject with a degree of interest. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning of verse 4, we find these very familiar words. Hear, O Israel, the Eternal our God is one eternal, and you shall love the Eternal your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be with you, shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the post of your house and upon your gates. Unless we teach our children how to conduct themselves, how to apply the laws of God to everyday situations, and how to make informed decisions, our offspring are not going to have much of an idea of what is to be expected of them. Have we as fathers instructed our children? And also, have our wives taught our children the law? Only if we have done these things can these words be applied to our children. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and forsake not the law of your mother, for they shall be as ornaments about your to grace your head, and chains about your neck. And that is Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. The book of Proverbs can be a goldmine of a teaching aid. All these words which were commanded then to the children of Israel are the laws of God, our Heavenly Father. We parents are commanded to teach them to our young ones. The rewards are well worth the effort and the dedication needed. After all, we want to see our children succeed. We also want to see them in the world tomorrow. When our children were growing up, I remember that my wife and I used to read the Bible story to them. 6 volumes plus further episodes in 2 or 3 years of Plain Truth magazines. I felt that this was a fabulous teaching aid, and not just a fabulous teaching aid for the children either. Turning back a couple of pages to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verses 5 to 9, and in this particular section, we are told exactly what we should be teaching our children. Here Moses is talking to the children of Israel that he had taught them exactly what was exactly the same as what God had taught and commanded him to observe. The Israelites were to teach them to their children and to their grandchildren. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, read these words. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Eternal my God has commanded me, that you should do so, in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear of all these statutes, and say, Surely this is a great and wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who has God so nigh unto them, as the Eternal our God is, in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that has statutes and judgments so righteous, as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself, and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from the heart all the days of your life, but teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. Teaching our children as best we can will have its rewards, for us and also for our children. As the scripture says, people will say of our children and of their parents, and hopefully the grandparents too, this is a wise and understanding people. It will not only be our children who will benefit from the parents' careful and persistent teaching, because all the family members who are or become members of the Church of God are destined to become teachers in the world tomorrow. Teaching our children and our grandchildren, when the opportunity arises, is the opportunity for us to learn how to become teachers in the world that is about to appear. Mr. Armstrong has stated time and time again that we are training to become teachers in the world tomorrow. There is also the need to guide our children with regards to company that they keep. As the Apostle Paul said, bad company corrupts good manners. That is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. This becomes readily apparent as the child advances through the teenage years, as age begins to give them a small degree of experience and an understanding and an ability to draw on instruction and observation. Our children will begin to form opinions, and they will gain a grasp of logic and common sense and begin to really make life-changing decisions if we're not careful. It is at this time of life when parents must carefully guide their offspring in a multitude of areas. Children need guidance in their choice of friends, choice of activities, choice of ambition and goal in life. They need to be taught that it is not advisable or even desirable to fully experience everything imaginable. Experience can be a heartless, remorseless, unremitting, unforgiving and soul-destroying teacher. If our child says that he or she has to learn through the school of hard knocks, we have to ask ourselves, have we failed in our efforts to teach our child the way to live? If we have failed now, we need to ask ourselves where we have failed and how we can improve our teaching abilities. As mentioned before, we are training to become teachers in the world tomorrow. If our children cannot learn from the teaching method that we have been using, then perhaps we need to change the method that we are using in order to ensure that our child learns the lesson that is under consideration. There's an old adage that iron sharpens iron, and that's a very good approach so that we can get our children involved in the teaching and the two-way experience in the teaching. Many of us have learned lessons through experience in the school of hard knocks even. Some of those experiences may not have been very pleasant. Some of those experiences we may not wish our children to have to experience themselves. We need to guide our children so that we and our children avoid the heartbreak of failure. We need to train up our children, diligently teaching them the law of God, and hopefully those that see our children will say, This is a wise and understanding people. The rewards are outstanding for our children, and for us they are truly magnificent. One of the rewards is to see our children glowing up and knowing the way that they should go. Another, perhaps the greatest, reward will be to see them in a world tomorrow where we and our children will be teaching God's way of life in a world that is yet to come.